Okay, today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Vav, and we're holding on the third line down, Tana Rabbanan. So we've been discussing various types of conditions, how to make the conditions, what the interpretation of the condition is, time limit on conditions, and what happens if the condition is unfulfillable after you did as much as you could with the condition, and so on. So we continue examining those issues and going on with the case that we've spoken about earlier. So in the case where somebody wants his ex to continue to serve his father breakfast for 2 years or to continue to nurse his son, now, this is a completely new take. Here it says, doesn't matter if she didn't do a darn thing. The condition is completely null and void. Why? Because he never said, if you will and if you don't, meaning he wasn't Mekayim, all of the issues of the Tanae B'nei Gad of Nei Reuven, which we saw yesterday, according to Rabbi Meir, are the only way that you can make that condition. And the fact that you said on condition apparently is not meaningful to Rabbi Meir. So we did find a shita, of course, which was Rabbi, that anytime you use the word on condition, you don't need to go through all the rigmarole of if yes and if not, and then the question of the Tanai Kaidim Lamaisa and the Hain Kaidim, all of that is only if you didn't say on condition. Rabbi Meir doesn't agree to that. And therefore, says Rabbi Meir, all of your discussions are moot. Because the way that you made this condition is null and void. You never said, if you will serve my dad breakfast then, and if you won't serve my dad breakfast then not, and so on and so forth. Same thing with the nursing. You didn't say, if you nurse my kid, if you don't nurse my kid, therefore there is no condition, and the get is unconditionally fine. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, what are you talking about? You've got a real condition over here. Either you keep your condition and then you got a get, and if not, this get is in the get is not kosher at all. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Amar. Now Reb Shimon Gamliel says it's not quite clear who he's talking to and what he's trying to prove, but Reb Shimon Gamliel says, well, there's no Tanai that we find in the Torah which has not been kafuled. Anytime that it says if, it always says if yes and if not, and therefore what? I don't know. But the Gemara is going to try to figure out to whom this was addressed. So, Ikari Amri, Rabbi Meir Kamala. Some say that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was saying this to Rabbi Meir, and some say that he was saying them to the Rabbanan who argued with Rabbi Meir. How would that work? Well, let's say like this. What he was saying to Rabbi Meir is, you know, you obviously hold that because of B'nai Gad U'Bnei Reuven, we learn out all conditions have to be those conditions. If yes, if not, and so on, right? But that is an error. Because if you take a look in the Torah, there are so many examples of this. So we have the im shachavi shitach, im otach, im lo shachavi shotach, we have by sota. We have the story of the Tanai that was made with Eliezer Eved Avram. You know, az tinakemi alati, and so on and so forth. We have the Tanaim that are made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in giving us the Torah and the Kololot. Im tovo ushmatem, im timanu meritem, and so on, which we have in the Navi, and so on and so forth. So, you don't ever learn out something when the Torah repeats the same idea more than once. Because if the Torah, that's called Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'echad. So if the Torah wanted you to utilize a model, it wouldn't have kept repeating different models, would it? So that means that obviously each one of these cases is a unique case. That's all. And therefore, you don't have the basis anywhere to say that all conditions need to be if yes and if not. And therefore, I disagree with you. And it's fine to make a Tanai that just says on condition. And therefore, we would learn from from, we would not learn from this to get. But others learned that actually Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was trying to say the opposite. And he was saying the Rabbanan who argue with Rabbi Meir, and they claim that you can actually use almanat on condition instead of saying if, it's ridiculous, says Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Take a look, every time the Torah mentions a t'nai, it always doubles it, right? And therefore we see from there that that is the overall rule. Now, each one of them obviously must be coming to tell me a specific issue. So Rashi and Tosis argue about where we find the specific issues, but the point is that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was dafka backing up Rabbi Meir's contention, not arguing with Rabbi Meir. Now, the question is, Vramin, we seem to have a contradiction over here. Exactly the opposite. Over here it says that if a guy says to his wife, exactly the situation that we just spoke about. So the din is that in the case where the father dies or the child dies, Rabbi Meir is dafka the one who says, it's not a good get. Ain't no get. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Whoa, wait. Rabbi Meir was the one who said, it is a get because he didn't say the t'nai right. And here he's saying, it's not a get. And here the Chachamim say what Rabbi Meir said, that there is no valid condition here, and ava bishalonit kayima t'nai, it's still a get because she can tell her husband, well, what's the problem? Give me your father and I'm happy to give him breakfast. Give me your child and I'm happy to nurse him. I mean, it's not my fault that they're dead, is it? So what's going on over here? Kasha Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir. Kasha the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan. I mean, the Rabbanan were the one who said we need the whole 2 years, and obviously they don't need anything. I don't understand what's happening. Answers the Gemara, the Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir, lo Kasha, hata bit lo kafne tonight, chabit lo kafle tonight. Remember that we spoke about yesterday and before that according to Rabbi Meir, we take for granted very often when we describe a condition that you are supposed to supply the details about, you know, being machpil the t'nai not. We don't expect the Tana every time to speak out the entire issue that here is your condition. And we need to wake up some of our people over here. I don't know. Sheesh. Akiva, you're right next door. Will you take care, please? The other one, yeah, good. Okay, so if this is the case, then in this particular brisa, Rabbi Meir was talking about, well, you did double the t'nai, you know? So, and it was perfectly okay. This is dealing with a different issue. And the first brisa, he meant, and he said so, that's why he spoke it out. You didn't say it properly, and therefore it wasn't formatted as a condition, and it's not binding. The other problem of the Rabbanan, not Rabbanan, is also not a problem, because Rabbanan is somebody else. The Rabbanan in the second brisa is referring to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. And remember, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel holds that kol akava sheina hemena, if it's not her fault, she didn't get him angry, or she didn't kill him, or whatever, so if it's not her fault, then it's still considered to be a proper get. Ashenkin, the Rabbanan who argued on Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, they said either you are Mekayim the get or you're not Mekayim the t'nai or you're not Mekayim the t'nai. So this was the old machlokas that we had before, legabe the story of the missing coat in Sidon. All right, we have something that is very similar to this. Tana Rabban, suppose a guy says to his wife, in front of witnesses, Amar la b'fnei shnayim, I'm giving you this get on condition that you serve my dad for 2 years. But he didn't give her the get. Then he says in front of another two witnesses, I'm giving you this get on condition that you give me $200. So now we've got two sets of witnesses that there was a t'nai in this get. The fact that he made a different t'nai in front of these other two witnesses and then gives her the get does not mean that he canceled the original Tanai. Lo bitel divrei ha'acharon ha'tarishon. So she's got this get either through being Mekayim the first Tanai, and Ratzta Mishamashto, she could take care of his dad for 2 years, or if it's easier for her, she wants to keep the second Tanai, Ratzta, she can give him Matayim Zuz. But how about in a case where clearly the later Tanai actually addresses the issue of the first Tanai and changes it? So let's say he originally gives her the get in front of two witnesses to whom he says, I'm giving her this get if she gives me $200. And then he says, in front of another two witnesses, I'm giving her this get if she gives me $300. Now, obviously, you can't say that that's an option. Either give me $200 or $300. That's ridiculous. So he must have upped his appetite. And now he's only giving her the get in the event that she gives him $300. So in that case, of course, it would be mamatale. So chazav amala b'fnei shnayim rezitech metanat shetini li shalosh meyotzuz. So he is addressing the same point, and now he wants more money. Therefore, bitel divrei ha'acharon et harishon. And here's the interesting thing. The get itself is signed by witnesses, right? Now, if she produces this get, and he comes along and he says, well, this get is not a kosher get. I gave it to you on condition. Well, the court says, I don't know, we're reading this get. We don't see any condition. So he says, well, I have witnesses that there was a condition. And you can't rely on this get until you know that the condition was fulfilled. Okay, where's your witnesses? Show us that this was a get given on condition. So then you can't bring one of the Edom that you originally said the first night and one of the Edom that you said the second night and say to the court, okay, look, I couldn't find both witnesses to the particular condition, but I do have two witnesses that this get is a get given on condition and therefore does not stand on its own until we actually find out that that condition was taken care of. So you cannot take one of the first zug and one of the second zug to tell the court that there was a condition. Wait, which case are we talking about over here? Where he said 200 and then said 300? Well, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. There is no first nine. You said we was mevatel by saying 300. He was mevatel the 200. How could that be the case? I mean, Ilema, if you're talking about the last case of the 200 and 300, didn't you say there is no first night, so there are no witnesses to the first night because he canceled the first night? So that, forget that case. So we got him in talking about the first case. Okay, so one set of witnesses say the get was given on condition that she takes care of his dad for 2 years. The other set of witnesses would say the get was given on condition that she gives him $200. You want to be mitzarev one witness that says there was a condition of $200 and one witness that says there was a condition that she should serve his father? I mean, what does one have to do with the other? Obviously, you can't bring two witnesses about two completely different things, can you? So then, Pshita, how can you have one pair of two witnesses that are saying two totally unrelated things? Because you see, says Gemara, it isn't totally unrelated in the sense that he is presenting two witnesses to the Beis Din that there was a condition in the get. And that's all he's trying to say. He's telling the Beis Din, look, the fact that she has a get and it's signed does not mean that it was a kosher get. I have witnesses that will testify to the effect that there was a condition in the get. So let's deal with this. Well, he does not have such, this is a chiddush, that those two witnesses cannot even be used to prove that there was a condition in the get at all. So that is a chiddush. So ma'a detema kol kiyuma t'nai mitzarfim, you would have thought that as long as both of them are coming for the same purpose, namely to establish that there was an actual condition, kamash malan, they need to be aidas to the same condition. We can't be mitzarif a theoretical concept of a condition. And that brings us directly to the very moment that we have been waiting for. Doc. Zoom did not put you in the right position today to give us a hand.
All the way over.
we'll take it the way it is there, Rich. And wish you a refuah shlema and a free trip to gym. How about a case like this? Guy says to his wife, if I don't come back within 30 days, this is your get. Now, the context was that he was on his way on a trip going from Yehuda to the Galil. So we understand at this point, now it's going to turn out that the way that we understood the Mishnah is totally messed up. But what we think the Mishnah is saying is like this, that contextually, the guy was about to leave on this caravan, and he was going from Yehuda to the Galil, and he said, if I don't come back within 30 days, that then the get would be chal. So suppose he actually gets to Antiparas and comes back. So then it's batel and the get is no longer usable. Because if he only got to, this is what we think it means. Remember, it's going to turn out that this is totally confused. But we were assuming that Antiparas was actually in the Galil, and they, which we'll see is not the case, but that's what we thought. So that means he got to the Galil and he came back within 30 days. So therefore, the whole deal that he had made is that if I go on my trip and I don't come back in 30 days, then the get, he went on his trip and he came back in 20 days. So everything is fine, right? Now, he can no longer use this get because this get was actually written on that condition. And therefore, the Tanai is canceled and the get is canceled and he's got to start over again if he wants to divorce her. How about if he said, this is your get, if I don't come back within 30 days, and he was on his way in the opposite direction. He was going from the Galil to Yehuda. And he reached Kvar Otnai. So now our assumption is that Kvar Otnai is the first town that you get to when you reach Yehuda. He comes to Kvar Otnai and he goes back within the 30 days. Same thing. It's no batel. That's it. And you can't use this get. This is what we think the Mishnah means. Same thing would be true if a guy says, I'm on my way on a massive business trip to Chutz Laretz. And he's on his way, indeed, to Medinat Hayam. And he says, if I don't get back within 30 days, the guy gets to Akko. And we think what this means is, Akko is Chutz Laretz. And he comes back within the 30 days. Same thing. He made the Tanai. He was very careful to make sure that get would not go into effect. Came back before 30 days. Also, Batel Tanai, the get is canceled. That's the end. How about he said, this is your get if I am away and don't see your face for 30 days. And he kept coming back and forth, and he never went away. The halakha over there is, strangely, that since he was never alone with her, it is a get. Now, none of this really makes sense, as we'll see, because he didn't go away for 30 days. So let's take a look at this step by step. The first thing is that the way that you just read the Mishnah is simply not the facts. It's not the actual case of the map. Because, I mean, what you were saying is that Antiparas is in the Galil, but it isn't in the Galil. And also you were assuming that Kvar Otnai is in Yehuda. It's totally backwards. Take a look at this, Bryce. Antiparas is in Yehuda and Kvar Otnai is in the Galil. So, and between those two towns, then if he got to those two towns, then we have to be machmer in both directions. We have to assume that she was Megureshet in terms of never being allowed to marry a Kohen if her husband dies. And we also have to assume that she was not Megureshet, and if her husband dies, she needs Yibum, or she's not allowed to get married to someone else in the event that he didn't die. Okay, I mean, this is exactly the opposite, right? Megureshet ve'ena Megureshet. So, first of all, we've got a total contradiction to the map that the Mishnah seems to be built on. Okay, says Abaye, look, we obviously misunderstood the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a completely different situation. It's not that we contextually defined the Tznai by the fact that he was going to the Galil, and therefore if he gets to the Galil and comes back, and therefore the only way to understand the Mishnah would be to say that the Antipras is in, he got to the Galil. No. It's two separate issues. What he says is, number one, if I get to the Galil, then this is a get. Immediately. If I stay on the road for 30 days, it should also be a get. So in other words, there's two options. If I never get to the Galil, but I don't get back here in 30 days, it's a get. If I actually get to the Galil, it's also a get, right? And that's the meaning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah wasn't trying to contextually define. What it was saying in the Mishnah was that there were two different things. If I don't come back within 30 days, okay, that means the get will be a get if I'm on the road for 30 days. Then the next thing, which says, a guy who is going from Yehuda to the Galil, then if he gets to Antipatris, that's what it's talking about. And this is a second Tznai. So therefore, the Mishnah reads like this. If he gets La Antiparis. Where is this? Do you know where this is, Barnea, exactly?
Rosh Ha'ayin, a fake. A number of different periods. Herod was there by Grisha later. Rosh Ha'ayin, a fake.
And that whole area was a town called, or an area called Antiparis? Or how do you pronounce
it? It's a town.
How do you pronounce it? What was the original pronunciation? Do you know?
We usually call it Antipatris.
Yeah, I know, but it never says that here. So this Antipras is the same as Antipatris for sure?
I think so. Built by Herod, the name of his father, right? It has a long-term place, and it's,
I wasn't sure that, if you're sure that Antipatris is Antipras, okay. All right, so anyway, if he gets
there. Nine is by Megiddo. So we're dealing with that middle area of the country. Are you in Galil or in Yehuda, and what's in between?
Okay, so if you got to Antipatris or Antipras, and he did not therefore get to the Galil, because we made a mistake in the way that we understood it originally, if he only reached Antipras and he did not get to the Galil, and he did not stay on the road for 30 days, that's what the Mishnah is saying, that then the Tznai is batal, and this is what we're referring to, because he only got as far as the end of Yehuda. So neither of his Tanaim actually went into effect. He wasn't away for 30 days on the road, and he never made it to the Galil. Fine. Okay. Now, by the way, when we say Batal Tanah here, remember that we're changing the other issue. Because before we thought that if you never put it into effect at all, that then you can actually use the get later. Over here it's saying, if you never put it into effect, and you tried to go to the Galil, and you were on the road, that is the Tznai. Not that now let's start again. So according to this approach, what we're saying is that the get is batal if you were somehow osek in what you were going to do and didn't do it, that's it. You're going to have to now give her a different get. Okay, the next case is the same thing. Hareza Giter. So now we had the other situation, in which, now this next kasha is not talking about the discussion that we just had. It's a separate discussion. In other words, we discussed the last part of the Mishnah outside of the context of what we just talked about, so that we didn't know the way that we had explained, according to Abaye, the meaning of the Mishnah. So we talked about the end thing, which was also pretty shocking, because the way that we had understood the Mishnah was that Akko was in Chutz La'aretz, and we have very clear indication that Akko was not in Chutz La'aretz. And here it's saying, if he said, I'm on my way to Chutz La'aretz and I don't return for 30 days, and he got to Akko, and he came back within 30 days, that implies that Akko's in Chutz La'aretz, asks the Gemara, but is that true? Lameimer, that Akko is considered to be Medinat Hayam? Didn't Rav Safra say, Ki avim miftarayim rabbanan mehadadeh? So when, remember that there used to be a tremendous amount of Talmidim that would come from Bavel to spend a couple of years in Eretz Yisrael learning. And now when they would be going back home, So their chavrusis from Eretz Yisrael would walk them to be malava them towards Bavel, and they would not go further than Akko. When they got to Akko, that's when they used to have their goodbye dinner. You're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, so those Talmidim would not go further. And that shows just the opposite, that they would go to Akko because Akko was still in Eretz Yisrael. And here too, Abaye gives the same explanation that he gave before. Omer Abaye, the Mishnah, you're misunderstanding. The Mishnah was talking about two separate Tnaim, not the context of the Tnaim. So A, if I manage to get to Medinat Hayam, so then this should be your get. And if I stay on the road for 30 days, also it should be a get. Therefore, if you got to Akko and came back home within 30 days, so then neither of your conditions took place. You never got to Medinat Hayam, and you weren't on the road for 30 days, and therefore, in this new approach to the Mishnah, you have therefore lost out on this get because it was only written on this condition. Fine. Now, the last piece of the Mishnah made zero sense. A guy says to his wife, this is your get. If I don't see your face in the next 30 days, and he is coming back and forth through the 30 days, then it is a get. What? V'alo avar. I don't understand. He did not go away for 30 days. Omer Avuna, that's because you guys don't understand what the man was saying, for heaven's sakes. Be sensitive. He's not talking about not seeing her face, literally. He's talking about seeing a lot more than her face. He's talking about having actual relations with her. He was just being a little bit euphemistic. So when he said panayach, he didn't mean panayach, your upper face. He meant to see your body, tashmish. Why did he use the word panayach? Lishnamayanakat. So he was talking in euphemism. So even though he came back and forth the entire time, we understand that if he never had any relations with her, that's what he had said. You know, she's been complaining about the fact that he never gives her any attention. And he says, well, if I'm not with you over the next 30 days, well, he wasn't. You know, he comes back and forth and he never sleeps with her. That's what it means. Fine. Rav Yochanan says, you know, you guys have dirty minds. Their faces are faces, upper faces, okay? Let's not think about euphemism. It means her face. And you don't know how to read the Mishnah. Did the Mishnah say that she is divorced? No. The Mishnah says that this is a good get. Never said that she's divorced. All it's saying is you can use this get. And why not? Because you would have thought that a guy who's coming back and forth into town is actually going to, by definition, parcel the get that he had, because now it becomes a get yashan. So remember that the din of a get yashan is that if somebody writes a get and then was alone with that woman, the Rabbanan parcel that get. Why? Because they're afraid that if he was around and alone with her, he might have gotten her pregnant. Let's say he got her pregnant. The date, this date on the get might be from months ago. Who knows? Years ago. I don't know when it's dated. But it's dated in a way that after the date on the get, she would get pregnant. So there's nothing inherently wrong with that, except that in order to avoid the complications of accusations of bastardy and so on, and people talk and it's not nice. So because of that, the Rabbanan say, don't give a get where people will think that the woman got pregnant after she was divorced. So that's called a get yashan. That's what it's talking about, said Rabbi Yochanan. It's not saying it's Megureshet. Of course she's not Megureshet, because he was there. But what it's coming to tell me, that it is still a kosher get, and it did not become a get yashan, because he was never alone with her. Ulochimalu tlat in yume, after 30 days, whenever that is, maybe 10 years from now, he'll be away for 30 days, you know? And at that point, if he's away for 30 days, the get will go into effect, and it's a kosher get. Let me show you that even though this sounds a little bit strange to you, perhaps here's a brighter. Here's the crucial point. Areze get ule get yashan ein choshushin share lo nityached ima. Here it makes it very clear that the issue is, was he alone with her to possibly get her pregnant or not? And that is precisely the way that Rabbi Yochanan understood the Mishnah. It's coming to tell me not that there's a gerushin, but rather that there's a get. But wait a minute. I mean, don't we need to be concerned about another gezeira? I mean, if the guy has been coming back and forth, so should we not be afraid that he is going to be able to attack this get in court by claiming that, well, you know, this was dated a long time ago and I've been coming back and forth into town and so on. I mean, do you really think that in all of that time, we never were able to work out our relationship and cancel this get? I mean, I actually was with her many times, you know. I mean, we've been a lovey-dovey couple for ages, you know, and then things broke down again. You know, now she thinks that she's got a get. But this is not a good get. I was alone with her many times. Omar Rabba Baravuna, Achi Omar Abba Mori Mishmei Darab. You're absolutely right. We would have to worry about a thing like that. And the only time that the Braisa was saying over here that Leget Yashan Lo Chashinan is in the event that he said at the same time, he said to these Edim, Ne'emenet Alay Lomar Shalobat, that if I ever come around and I start claiming that we made up, let me tell you right now, I know what kind of bum I am, and I'm trying to be a mensch. If she says that we were never alone, I accept her testimony as if there's 100 witnesses against me. So under such circumstances, it's highly unlikely that the guy's going to make a fool of himself after already telling people that he suspects himself of being cruel. Now he's going to come and say, yeah, but so that we're not worried about. This is how Rashi understands the question. Not that it's a real question. Maybe he did come back. But remember the whole beginning of the Masechet, where we stress that the point is we always want to make certain that a get cannot be dragged back into court to make a woman insane. And this is therefore what it is that the Gemara was asking, according to Rashi. Now, the question of whether you need to have said this statement, she is believed if I go to court and claim that this is actually turned into a get yashan and we had made up or whatever, she's believed whatever she says about that, whether that was said on the case on the Mishnah or that was said in the case of the Braita. So remember, the case of the Mishnah was, if I don't come back from now, me'akshav im lo bati mikan vachneim asar chodesh, which is the Mishnah that's going to be coming up in a minute. If I don't come back within the next 12 months and he dies within the next 12 months, then it's a kosher get, because he certainly did not come back from the grave. And therefore, we say that it was chal from that time, me'akshav from now, right? Now, in this version, ikan amasana amasnesin. So some say that's what Rav was saying, that the Gemara asked, how do we rely on this? Do we know absolutely 100% that this husband never snuck back into town and had a lovey-dovey meeting with his wife, and therefore posseled the get, and if he hadn't died, he would have come along, and he would have maybe attacked the get, so it's really a get yashan, so why aren't we worried about that? Omar Rabba Baravuna, and it was on that, that Ochi Omar Abba Mar Mishmei Durav, it's talking about a case where he said, whatever I say, don't believe me, believe her, like Mea Aiden. Okay, so now, the question is there a difference whether I make that condition, I need to make that condition, that always believe her in the case of the Mishnah, where he said, if I don't come back for 12 months, or in the case of the Braita, where he was talking about 30 days and he was coming back and forth? Says the Gemara, well, of course there's a difference. Look, if Rav said that you need to make that condition, even in the case where you were away for a year, that means that you need to make this condition in order for us to accept a get, where we have no reason to suspect that you had this lovey-dovey meeting with your wife and got her pregnant, right? Because we have no indication that you ever came back during those 12 months. And even so, Rav says you need to say that she's believed if I ever try to attack this get. Now, Kosher Kane, in the case of the Breiser, where we know for a fact that this guy kept coming back into town every couple of days, I mean, it's true, we don't know that he was alone with his wife, but there we become very suspicious. So for sure we need to know that he made this statement to witnesses. If I ever come and attack this get, let me tell you right now, whatever she says, I accept, and I will have no rights to attack it in court. Okay, so for sure you would need to say that in the case of the Braita, Koshiken Braita. But in the version that we had initially, that we're talking about the case in the Braita where he kept coming back, Hayaba, Halach Vaba, Halach Vaba, over there, it's obvious why we would be very suspicious. So there, perhaps, and only there, perhaps, Rav said that he would have needed to make a condition that she's believed if I attacked the get. But in the case of the Mishnah where the guy left town and we never saw him again, we don't need to have witnesses that he said that because we have no basis to suspect that he came back and made up with his wife. So Maman de Matin La Batraita, in the case of the Mishnah, Halo Anta, we never saw him come to town, and therefore the get would be kosher, even if there never had been that dramatic announcement that she is believed, come hell or high water. And this brings us once again to the site of the Titanic. Go for it, sir.
Get a second chance?
Absolutely. Life is all about second chances.
I'll try to lighten it a little bit.
Excellent. Your grandpa, the chazan, would have been absolutely floored. I won't say what direction. So here's the case, the Mishnah we actually were talking about a minute ago. Over here, the guy makes it tonight. The get will be a get if I don't come back within 12 months. And he ends up dying within the 12 months, never came back. It's not a get. But if he said the get will be chal now, and therefore it's a get bechayim, and it's not a get beachamisa, and then he died, then it is a kosher get, because he never came back, and it was a get at the time that he said meachshav. Now, how about if he says it like this? If I don't get back here in the next 12 months, write and give a get to my wife. And then the people write the get right away, but they don't give it. And they give it to her only after the 12 months are up. It's not a good get because he said, only if I don't get back, then write the get. And they wrote it before, but they were not commissioned to write it before. So not a kosher get. How about if, however, he says it like this, write a get and give it to my wife if I don't get back in the next 12 months. So then if they wrote the get within 12 months and they give it after 12 months, the Tanakama holds, it's the same thing. What's the difference what you put first? But Rabbi Yossi says, oh no, because that get, that case is kosher. Because when he said, write the get and give it if I don't come back. The words, if I don't come back for the next 12 months, were only said on the last part, which is give it. Okay, so we did. We gave it after the 12 months. The fact that I wrote it during the 12 months, you never said I can't write it during the 12 months, and therefore it would be okay. So in that event, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's a perfectly kosher get. Now, suppose they write the get after the 12 months, they give the get after the 12 months, and everything is fine, except then the man died. Well, we don't care if he died. As long as he died after the get was delivered, it has nothing to do with the case. So ima get kodem lemita, if the get was delivered before his death, so then it's a kosher get. But if he died before the get was delivered, since ein get liachar mita, and we need for the person to be alive in order to divorce his wife, so then, of course, it would not be a kosher get. How about if we're not sure? Well, this is the case about which we learned, megoreshet veina megoreshet, that she is in a state of suffolk. All of this now we're going to go over. But remember that we learned that this was the case where Rabotenu Hitirua Linase. This was the case we taught earlier, that there were these Rabbanan that said it's okay. Even in this case, the very first case, where he never said Me'achshav, and she could get married anyway. Who is that? Man Rabotenu. So as we saw before, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, this is that famous big Mekilim, the Beidina de Sharum Ishka, the ones who allowed you to buy non-Jewish olive oil. And they hold like Rabbi Yossi, who holds Smano Shoshtar Mochiach Alav. And therefore, even though you didn't say Me'achshav, but the date on the get, which is today, is the equivalent of saying Me'achshav. So this was the Rabbi Yossi that we've been talking about all along, Zmano Shoshtar Mochiach Alav. Amr Baba Bered Rabbi Barava Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Now, this question, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, that Bezdin was led by Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, who was a grandson of Rebbe. He was the son of Rabbi Gamliel, who was the son of Rebbe. And he was matir her to get married, but I want you to know that nobody agreed with him. Lo hodu lo kosiato, the rest of the Bezdin did not go along with him, or some say, lo hodu lo kosiato. During his entire life, he could never get people to actually agree. So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan said Shmuel is wrong. Shmuel claims that this was the Bezdin that was Matir Mishka, and that they went along with Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, and I'm telling you that's not the case. This was Rabbi Yehuda Nesia's personal psak, and not the Bezdin. Nobody agreed with him. So now, Amar le Rabbi Elazar lahu saba. So Rabbi Elazar asked, as we're going to see, he found an old Talmud Chacham who had been a member of the Bezdin of Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. So he bumps into this guy, and he asked him, when you guys were matir this woman to marry, so obviously Rabbi Elazar held of Shmuel's approach, right? That the whole Bezdin had gone along with Rabbi Yehuda Nesia and had allowed the woman to remarry because the husband had died, and Zmano Shoshtar Mochiach Alav. What I'm curious to know, said Rabbi Elazar to this original member of that Bezdin, when you guys were matir her to marry, were you matir her to marry as soon as the husband died? And you basically said, well, if he's dead, he's sure not going to be coming home in the next 12 months. And therefore, the get is automatically good. And you allowed her to marry without having chalitza. Or did you wait specifically only till after the 12 months passed in order to avoid any kind of misconceptions here on the part of people who would say that she got married without it? So this is what I want to know. La'alta sharitua, the halo ati. So did you allow her to get married right away because since he's dead, he's certainly not coming back? And therefore, for all intents and purposes, we know that the get is a get from the time of the date of the contract. Or perhaps you said, because that way it will be clear to all that the Tanai was Mikuyam, and we want to make sure that people don't think otherwise. So we want to know, how far were you ready to go? Did you maybe want specifically to wait? I don't understand. Why is Rabbi Elazar asking about the case of the Braita, where we have a Mishnah that you have to ask the same question? There's a Mishnah that we just learned. Me'akshav, tibay le'masnesi, me'akshav im lo bati mikan v'chnei masar chodesh. You said if the guy told his wife, if I don't come back in the next 12 months, and he dies within those 12 months, so then it's a good get. You have the same question. In the case where he said Me'akshav, you don't even have to get into the issue about Shzmano Shel Shtar. Just ask, did the Mishnah mean it's a good get the minute that the guy dies, since he's obviously not going to be coming back in the next 12 months? Or do we say, La'al Tehave, D'Holo Ati? Or maybe the Mishnah only meant to be matir her to get married after the 12 months passed, because that way it was clear to all that the condition was a call. He came late today. So I think, well, of course he could have asked it on the Mishnah, for heaven's sakes. But he wasn't asking a theoretical question. So what do you guys think? I mean, who's he going to talk to about the Mishnah? Here he bumped into a guy that was there. And he wanted to find out what it was that they did. Not supposed to ask, who's he going to ask about the Mishnah? So if he was asking a theoretical question, yes, inafinami. But in this case, he bumped into someone who was actually able to give him an answer. So obviously he was going to ask that person. Mishum dahavi bahu maisa. That's why I told you in the beginning, we're talking about not just any old guy, but the someone who had actually been present at that time. So now, where we have this amachlokas over here, and we've got two different cases. According to our Mishnah, if you didn't say me'achshav, it's no good. According to the Braita, Rabotenu hitiru alina say, it is good. Why? Because Manush Ashtar muchiach alav. So now it's important for us to understand how far this distinction is. So let's say in a case, as Abaya, in a case where both the Mishnah and Rabbi Yossi's approach would be the same, would be, for instance, a guy gives a get during the night, and he says, when the sun comes out, meaning at daybreak, this will be a get. So when he says when the sun comes out, it means when the sun comes out. What if he died during the night? Then when the sun comes out, it's a get li achar mita, because since he said it in this way, in the same way that we had over here, when I don't come back. So that means it should not be retroactive. There, even Rabbi Yossi is moda. If he said that that's the point, when I don't come back, then give the get. Obviously, Rabbi Yossi agrees in that case that he was specifically saying, forget about this man in the get. Don't give that get until I get back. So that would be for sure. And if he said, write the get, he said, don't write the get until I get back. But what if he said, during the night, he said, this is your get on condition that the sun rises. So then everybody would agree that he means from now. And therefore, because since Rav Huna Amar Rav says that when a person says on condition, and he doesn't say if, he doesn't say when, he says on condition, well, the halacha is kol ha'omer amanat ka'omer me'akshav dam. Okay, so where would we have the machlokas over here that I'm trying to pinpoint precisely where Rabbi Yossi says that the Zman HaShashtar Mochiach Alav would be different than our Shita in the Mishnah, where you would have to stipulate Me'achshav or Me'hayom. Because here we see that it's not all that clear. There's times that Rabbi Yossi is Moda, there's times that the Chachamim are Moda. So when exactly is there machlokas? I'll tell you. Lo nechleku ela be'im teitzei. So the machlokas would only be where you didn't say almanat shetetze. You didn't say when shetetze. You said if the sun rises. That's the point. So in that case, or obviously, I mean, we don't mean only the sun rises, but any case where the person would say if. So therefore, so if you said the idea when is when. But if, remember, we said if could mean if or when. So there we have a machlokas. Mar sofa, so that means the chachomim in the Braita, which we said was the grandson of Rebbe. So mar sofa lak Rebbe Yossi, the Omer Zmano Shashtar Mochiach Alav. So even though he just used the word if, but since it's dated, it's as if he said from now, if. Ma'avilei kemehayom imat, or kemehakshav imat. The Mishnah disagrees. And in the event that the guy said, if I die, he doesn't say me'ayom, he doesn't say me'achshav, then as we said in the Mishnah, that is actually not considered to be retroactive at all. And there is where we understand the difference. So that means we need to be very careful on the formulation. Are we talking about if? Are we talking about when? Are we talking about a condition of on condition, or are we talking about a condition that is formulated by if? Are we talking about a Tanai B'nei God of Nei Ruvain? Are we talking about a condition such as Rebbe defined? And so on. So our conditions, the last Mishnayos that we've had, defining conditions are actually important to be very meduyak, and there are cases where you will end up with a suffix because of the way that it was formulated. Go to have a wonderful day.